Tonight's talk is the first in a series on a well-known Chinese classic. In the 16th century in China, Mr. Liao Fan Yuan wrote it with the hope that it would teach his son, Tian Shi Yuan, how to recognize the true face of destiny, tell good from bad, correct his faults, and practice kind deeds. It also provided living proof of the rewards and outcomes of those who practiced these kind deeds and who cultivated virtue and kindness. Relating from his own experience at changing destiny, Mr. Liao Fan Yuan was himself a living embodiment of his teachings. The title of this book is Liao Fan's Four Lessons. The author is Mr. Liao Fan. Liao means understanding and awakening. Fan means that if one is not a sage, such as a Buddha, Bodhisattva, or Arhat, one is an ordinary being. So Liao Fan means to understand that it is not enough to be an ordinary person, that we should strive to be an exemplary person, that when thoughts that are not virtuous arise, we should eliminate them. There are four lessons or four chapters in this book. The first lesson shows us how to recreate destiny. The second lesson explains the ways to reform ourselves. The third reveals the ways to practice kindness. And the fourth discloses the benefits of the virtue of humility. The first lesson of learning to recreate destiny is a topic of interest to many people who believe that wealth, poverty, long life are all predestined. We cannot say they are wrong, because if someone had been a good person and accomplished good deeds in his or her former lifetime, then naturally, in this life, he or she would live a wealthy and long life. On the other hand, if someone had been a bad person and committed bad deeds in his or her past life, then in this life, they would be poor and live a short life. However, there are exceptions. Destiny can be changed. If a person was originally destined to be rich with a long life but had committed excessive offenses, then without having to wait until the next life to bear those consequences, he or she would become poor in this life with a short life. On the other hand, if a person was originally destined to be poor with a short life, but had accomplished numerous kind deeds, then without having to wait until the next life, he or she would become wealthy with a long life. From ancient times until now, there have been many examples of this in history. Although everything that we are subjected to in this life is the result from the behavior in our past life and has already been predestined, it is not necessarily constrained by fate. It still depends on our current behavior to modify it. In this lesson, Mr. Liao Fan related to his son his own experiences and those of others in changing destiny. He wanted his son to put his best efforts into practicing kindness and ending his incorrect behavior. He wanted his son to form his destiny, not be bound by it. For in forming our destiny, we are not controlled by it. Rather, we control destiny. Therefore, the lesson of learning to create destiny teaches the principles behind fate and the knowledge necessary to change it. For instance, as Pure Land practitioners, if we were able to follow this method, we are assured of attaining a happy and fulfilling life and of being born into the Pure Land. For those who want to go to heaven, if they are able to follow this method, then they too will be assured of attaining a happy and fulfilling life and of going to heaven. The following is a quote from the book. My father passed away when I was young. My mother persuaded me to learn medicine instead of studying and passing the imperial examinations, because it would be a good way to support myself while helping others. Having this skill, I would never have to worry about making a living. Perhaps I could even become famous through my medical skills. Thus fulfilling my father's aspiration for me. Therefore, I complied with my mother's wish for me to become a doctor and gave up the dream of having a career in the government. End quote. In the past, in China, the purpose of studying and passing the imperial examinations was to become a government official. Thus, to stop studying for the exams was to give up any chance of becoming that official. Studying medicine would lead to a good career that enabled one to have a skill that would earn a good living in addition to helping others. At that time, teachers did not charge students a set fee, but accepted whatever was offered. Wealthy families gave more. Poor families gave less. The amount given was not important. As long as the student was sincere in honoring the teacher and in respecting the teachings, the amount given was not important. The same applied to doctors. Their goal was to save lives, to do their very best to make others well. The payment for this was left up to the patient. Both teachers and doctors were dedicated to helping others. Consequently, in ancient China, both teachers and doctors were highly respected. Quote from the book. One day, I met an elderly but distinguished-looking gentleman at the Compassionate Cloud Temple. He had a long beard and such a look of a sage that I immediately paid my respects to him. He told me, "You are destined to be a government official. Next year, you will attain the rank of learned first-level scholar. Why are you not studying?" I told him the reason. End quote. This segment tells of Mr. Liao Fan's opportunity to learn how to change his destiny. It described his meeting with an elderly gentleman at the Compassionate Cloud Temple. This gentleman had a very handsome countenance, was tall, and had an elegant celestial air. He simply did not look like an ordinary person. Thus, Mr. Liao Fan naturally paid his respects to him. Because the elderly gentleman could foretell the future, he immediately knew that Mr. Liao Fan should have been studying and needed to do so as soon as possible. In the past, before the government employed anybody, examinations were held for all the candidates. After passing the first entry examination, the students would then be sent to various county schools to study. From the book, I asked the gentleman his name and where he was from. He replied, "My last name is Kong. I come from Yunnan province. I have inherited a most sacred text by Shaozi. It is called the Imperial Standard of Governing the World. Shaozi developed the art of prediction very well, and by calculations, I am supposed to pass it on to you and teach you how to use it." End quote. Shaozi was a scholar from the Song Dynasty, which was approximately 1,000 years ago. He was a well-known and highly respected intellectual of his time. The Sacred Book on Astrology is a lengthy book that has been compiled along with others into the complete library in 4 divisions. This mammoth collection of 1,500 volumes covers the 4 areas of classics and sutras, history, a wide range of systems for governmental management, and literature. The content of Shaozi's book is completely in accordance with the principles in I Ching, the Book of Change, and predicts the future through mathematical calculations. The predictions in the book covered extensive subjects and areas, including changes in countries and the world, the prosperity and decline of a dynasty, the good fortune and misfortune of an individual could all be completely extrapolated by mathematical calculations. This is a book of profound knowledge based on a precise science and is therefore both logical and believable. Everybody, everything has a set destiny. Buddha Shakyamuni taught us that this is due to the law of cause and effect. As long as we give rise to a cause, be it a thought, a word, or an act, there will follow a result, a set destiny. When the mind is absent of thought, then we can transcend the predestination of the mathematics. Why are practitioners with high levels of achievement often able to transcend? Because they are able to achieve deep concentration. And in this deep concentration, their minds do not give rise to any wandering thoughts. Without thoughts, we will not be controlled by the predestination of the numbers. So we know that as long as we have thoughts, we will be bound by the mathematics. A highly skilled person is able to predict our future by these calculations. So the lives of we ordinary beings are predestined. Arhats or other sages with a high level of achievement who have already transcended the six realms of reincarnation are thus able to transcend their fate. Are the heavenly beings in the form and formless heaven realms who have achieved the four meditation states and the eight concentration levels able to transcend their fate? Yes, for in their deep concentration, the mathematics cannot affect them. But this ineffectiveness is only temporary. Once they lose their state of deep concentration, they are again bound by the mathematics. And this is why they have never been able to permanently transcend the six realms of reincarnation. If the strength of their concentration enabled them to transcend the six realms and advance to the ninth concentration level to become a non-regressive arhat, then they would no longer be bound by the mathematics. Once we understand these principles, understand that everything is predestined, we will look at this world with a non-discriminatory mind. We will neither be pleased with favorable circumstances nor displeased with unfavorable ones, because everything is predestined. From the book. Therefore, I invited Mr. Kong to my home and told my mother about him. My mother told me to treat him very well. We then tested Mr. Kong's ability at prediction. He was always correct, whether it was for big events or small everyday matters. Therefore, I became convinced of what he had said about destiny and again began to think of studying for the examinations. I consulted with my cousin, who recommended a teacher who was teaching at the home of his friend. I thus became his student. End quote. Mr. Liao Fan invited Mr. Kong to his home and, being a filial son, told his mother about him. His mother asked him to take good care of Mr. Kong and that they needed to test his authenticity. When someone tells us something, we need to determine if it is true or false before believing it. Mr. Liao Fan tested and found Mr. Kong's predictions to be extremely accurate. Thus, he was convinced and naturally took Mr. Kong's advice. In the past, schools were not common like they are today. Before the Qing Dynasty, the last dynasty in China, instructions took place at a private home school with a tutor. Usually, there was only one teacher with from 20 to 30 students. There were no high schools, only public universities. One had to study very hard with a private tutor to be able to sit for the examination to qualify to attend a university which was managed by the government. It just happened that Mr. Liao Fan's cousin had a friend who was teaching at someone's home, and so Mr. Liao Fan began to prepare for the examination. From the book. Mr. Kong then did some further calculations for me. He told me that as a student, I would place 14th in the county examination, 71st in the regional examination, and 9th in the provincial examination. The following year, at the 3 examination places, I placed exactly as Mr. Kong had predicted. End quote. Mr. Kong predicted Mr. Liao Fan's immediate destiny and told him that he would rise through several levels of examinations to become a scholar, to become a government official. Therefore, whether it was passing or failing an exam, or what rank he would attain, everything was predestined. Thus, the results of the examinations in the second year were exactly as predicted. So again, everything was as expected. From the book. I then asked him to make predictions for the rest of my life. Mr. Kong's predictions and calculations showed that I would pass such and such a test in such and such a year, that I would become a civil servant in such a year, and the year that I would receive a promotion. And lastly, I would be appointed as magistrate in Sichuan province. After holding that position for 3.5 years, I would retire and return home. I would die at the age of 53 on August 14th, around the hours of 1 to 3 a.m. Unfortunately, I would not have a son. I recorded everything he said and carefully put it aside. End of quote. At this time in history, the government provided university students with an allowance. Living expenses were supplemented with rice. Similar to a food allowance, the excess rice could be sold. Every region had a set number of positions available. Only when there was a vacancy could that position be filled. From Mr. Kong's predictions, we can see that everything is predicted. Every day, every month, when and how we will live, when and how we will die. Everything in life is predestined. No matter how we might try to do otherwise, ordinary people cannot escape their destiny. However, people with high levels of wisdom need not be bound by destiny. Buddhas know the past, present, and future of all living beings. Arhats can know 500 past and 500 future lifetimes of beings. Some people can only predict one lifetime. Our destinies come from wandering thoughts, discriminations, and attachments. The Buddha told us the true reality of life in the universe. Reincarnation of the six realms comes from wandering thoughts, discriminatory thoughts, and attachments. We create our own reincarnation. It is not created by others. Our attachments of viewpoints and thoughts are the first kind of affliction. Second, discrimination is the diversity dust affliction. Third, wandering thoughts give rise to the ignorance affliction. Our body is the retribution for our afflictions. Before we change anything, we have to know where everything comes from. So the most important thing for us is to awaken. If we are still deluded, still confused, then we can change nothing. Saints do not have wandering thoughts, discriminatory thoughts, attachments, while we ordinary people still have them. The most serious attachment is for our bodies. Because of this attachment, we have conflicts with anyone over anything. This is why we are bound by the numbers, bound by our destinies. Sometimes we are fortunate, sometimes not. Sometimes we are successful, sometimes not. These happen due to our past deeds. Ordinary people do not realize these principles, so they continue to plot and to scheme. We can attain enlightenment when we thoroughly sever our wandering thoughts, discriminatory thoughts, and attachments. If we still have these, then we are just still ordinary beings and cannot transcend the six realms. If we transcend the six realms of reincarnation, then we have severed our attachments, but we still have discriminatory thoughts. If we can continue to sever these discriminatory thoughts, then we can transcend to the flower adornment world, the one true world. The Pure Land is also the one true world. If we want to reach the reward land of each Buddha land, we have to at least sever attachments and sever 1 degree of wandering thoughts. We have to sever at least 1 degree of wandering thoughts to become a Dharma body bodhisattva. When we reach this level, we will have the same viewpoints as Buddhas. If we do not read the sutras, how can we understand this true reality? The reality that we create our own three bad realms, our own six realms of reincarnation, our own 10 Dharma realms. So we must sever our discrimination and our attachments. But we have been accumulating these for infinite lifetimes. So it is not easy for us to sever them right away. The Western Pure Land of Buddha Amitabha is different from other Buddha lands, because to go to other Buddha lands, we must sever our discriminatory thoughts and attachments. But we do not need to do this to go to the Pure Land. If we can, we will go to the land of true reward in the Pure Land. If we cannot cut off even 1 degree of discriminatory thoughts and attachments, but at least are able to control our afflictions, then we can go to the land where ordinary people and sages live together in the Pure Land. Understandably, it is easier for us to control our afflictions than to sever them. How do we control our wandering and discriminatory thoughts and attachments? Once we give rise to these, we use the thought of Amitabha to suppress other thoughts. Do not be afraid of wandering and discriminatory thoughts and attachments. Be afraid of not being aware that we are having them. If we are constantly aware, then we can learn to suppress them. Thus, our attachments will gradually be reduced, and thoughts of ourselves will become lighter. In this way, our every thought will be to benefit others without any expectation of reward. If we can reach this level of constant mindfulness, our every thought will be to benefit others, not self. This assures us of going to the Western Pure Land. How do we suppress these afflictions? We must understand the principle that nothing in our world is real, so there is no need to commit bad deeds. This is another way to suppress our afflictions. We start by reforming our thoughts to change our minds. When we are deluded, we are mired in the 6 realms of reincarnation, always trying to control everything, other people, matters, objects, and affairs. The thought of constantly trying to control others is the cause of our negative karma. Once we are awakened, we will give up the thought of controlling, of possessing. And if we can give up these thoughts, then we will attain true happiness, true merits, and good fortune. Our true, original, innate wisdom has been blocked by thoughts of trying to control others, to possess others. Thus, our true wisdom cannot currently be uncovered. Originally, we had infinite good fortune, merits, and virtues. Without the Buddha's explanation, we would never know the true reality. Every thought should be to benefit others. This is the mind, the heart of Buddhas. We are hearing more and more of ancient prophecies that speak of coming disasters, of impending major changes in our world, of tropical areas that will become cold, of cold areas that will become hot, cities that will fall into the oceans, land that will rise up from the oceans. Is any place safe? The only way to guarantee our safety is to accumulate good merits and good fortune. Those who are truly enlightened can transcend the ideas of life and death, the ideas of self, others, phenomena, and time. If we can change a moment of life into a moment of eternity, then our next life will become better than this life. And we will become awakened. From the book. Mr. Kong had also predicted that I would only be promoted after receiving a salary in the weight of 91 don and 5 dough of rice. However, I had received only 70 don of rice when my superior, Mr. Tu, recommended me for a promotion. I secretly began to doubt Mr. Kong's predictions. Nevertheless, the predictions turned to be right after all, because Mr. Tu's replacement turned down my promotion. End quote. When Mr. Liao Fan's salary reached 70 dough of rice, Mr. Tu approved his promotion. However, after his approval, either by promotion or transfer to another position, there was a substitute in Mr. Tu's place. And this person, not agreeing with Mr. Liao Fan's promotion, overruled it. It was a few years later that an official went through the papers that had not passed the examination. He read Mr. Liao Fan's papers and was very pleased with them. He felt they were as well written as reports to the emperor. These reports were similar to recommendations from government officials to the emperor to be accepted or rejected by the imperial court. It was thus evident that Mr. Liao Fan's knowledge was very broad, and the thesis papers were extremely well written. From the book. It was not until some years later that a master of great learning saw my old exam papers and exclaimed that they were superior to many reports to the emperor. The official wanted the magistrate to issue an order for me to become an imperial student under his authority. After undergoing this eventful promotion, my calculations showed that I had received exactly 91 don and 5 dough of rice. From then on, whether it was promotion, rank, or wealth, I deeply believed that all came about in time, and that even the length of one's life is prearranged. I began to view everything in a detached manner and ceased to seek gain or profit. End quote. Imperial students had all of their expenses paid by the government, but were expected to work for the government upon graduation. From this incident, we can see that Mr. Tu was not an ordinary person, for as soon as he read Mr. Liao Fan's papers, he wanted to promote him. However, his replacement overruled his promotion. Two people with different opinions. Mr. Liao Fan was obviously very talented, but although we may be very talented, we still need the appropriate conditions, whether fate, time, cause, or condition. Everything is predestined. Mr. Liao Fan had to wait until another government official read his papers for the proper conditions to mature in order to receive his promotion. From then on, Mr. Liao Fan was awakened and understood. Our good fortune or bad, good luck or bad, being rich or poor, all are predestined. Ordinary people cannot change destiny. When we are not supposed to have something, no amount of trying to get it will succeed for long. But when we are supposed to have it, we will naturally receive it. Understanding this, Mr. Liao Fan no longer had any thoughts of demand, of gain or loss. His mind was truly at peace. We can say that at this point in time, as an ordinary person, he was perfect. Today, people do not even meet this standard for ordinary people. Why? Our minds are not pure, and thus we have many wandering thoughts. On the other hand, Mr. Liao Fan did not have any wandering thoughts because he knew everything that was going to happen to him. Ancient sages said that a person of noble character and integrity is happy to be a noble person, but it is not worth the effort for a villain to be a villain. Why? Because a wise and virtuous person knows that one drink or one bite, everything is predestined. It is not worth the effort to be a villain, risking all in seeking self-satisfaction. Everything he has gained through scheming or plotting was something he or she would have gained anyhow. It was something they were meant to have. Thus, it was not worth the effort to use improper means to gain it, and thus to have to suffer the consequence of those improper means. Average people are bound by their fate. At this time in his life, Mr. Liao Fan only knew about destiny. He did not yet know that there was a variable beyond it, that it could be changed. By practicing in accordance with the principles and methods, we can change our destinies. We will then be able to attain whatever we wish, as we ourselves become the masters of our own fates. In order to attain wealth, we practice the giving of wealth. To attain intelligence, we practice the giving of teachings. To attain long life and well-being, we practice the giving of fearlessness. These are the correct ways to change our destiny. By following the correct principles and methods, we can attain whatever we want, even perfect, complete enlightenment, much less small worldly enjoyment and good fortune. From the book. After being selected as an imperial student, I was to attend the university at Beijing. During my year-long study in the capital, my interest in meditation